think that we would be in a situation where we would be talking about measles the way we're talking about it in this country right now? Is this a surprise to you?
It is and it isn't. You know, this happens in all sorts of infectious diseases, new ones and old ones. And people do change in their ways of handling getting medical care.
You know, so you see a couple of items. It's interesting because I assign a value to measles that it doesn't really have in intelligence, and probably the same with mumps, that it looks for an opportunity. And that kind of assigns it a value, but I still don't think that statement is inaccurate either.
So some of that is I'm going to call it the medico-sociological answer to that. And with measles and other viruses that you can use a vaccine for, is that when we vaccinate the population, we want not just the one person. We want to generate what is called herd immunity. So you want a large number of people to be immune. That way, if there is one person in the herd, so to speak, who became ill, it wouldn't spread. Now, you will get to a part in the herd immunity, or using the word herd again, if not very many people are immunized, then there is that gives the outbreak the opportunity to start.
You know, and I find that interesting. So I would think, depending on the viral nature of it, how contagious a disease is, that would kind of give you a statistical percentage of how much of the herd would need to be vaccinated so that you had a safety margin, right? If it's the bubonic plague, you want everybody, right, if providing you have a vaccine for it. But with the measles, more readily available. But on the other hand, we've seen this mistrust of vaccines. It's not new, but it has kind of grown to a, well, when I start thinking about your herd analogy, it's grown to a critical mass.
I think that's correct. And we've been watching it here in Southern Illinois healthcare and other people who are invested in infections and in infection control. And, you know, it's alarming because there are a large number of cases now in the United States. In Illinois, it's gone up as well, mostly in Chicago, but we've had some in Southern Illinois cases. And just in the past 3 weeks in New York, there are 75 new cases there.
Yesterday, the CDC, they've been doing this on Monday now for the last probably month, a little plus, or at least that I've been tracking it. As of yesterday, 839 cases. Now, the other thing that I watch is watch it just inch up. It's been 22 states, and then it's 23, and then as is the case. But we started at 11 and 17, and you see it continue to grow. And so here's the thing. 839 cases in a nation of 330 million people. How concerned? See, I wonder how concerned, when you start looking at it from a math perspective, how concerned should you be?
Yeah, I think those numbers are, I look at the trend, you know, it's still trending upward.
Right.
And we don't know when it's going to stop.
Well, the old trend was 1994 and eventually reached 963 cases. What I think is, if you look at it as a year, we are ahead of the trend right now, that trend that came out with that number. Measles is only a disease that kids get.
Well, unfortunately, adults get it too. And in this decade, we are using very powerful medications that cause immunosuppression for certain diseases, which help the people with the diseases, but make them very vulnerable to measles.
Right. Because when I read the number last week, chickenpox in Europe at like 53,000. My ears started to perk up because I have a tendency to connect these things. I connect mumps. I connect measles. I connect a chicken pox altogether to a certain extent, as I just told you, you know, only kids get it. But I can tell you that I've known a couple of men who had the mumps, and they would say, I wish only kids got it, because they had, well, the popular colloquialism at the time was mumps fell on me. You may remember that. It's a rather old colloquialism. But when it comes to this, kids, their immune systems you were just talking about, older adults, is there an age group that is more susceptible to this?
Well, an infant or baby We're all susceptible to it, but if we're on immunosuppressive medication or chemotherapy, and it could be a child or an adult, so they're vulnerable. We don't want our pregnant women to suddenly have a measles infection because right. it can cause abortion, spontaneous, and that sort of thing. So we're very worried about that. Enough so we convened a task force last week, Southern Illinois Healthcare, and we're in the beginning of that. And we will want to be, we're also trying to get the all the county health departments in on this too. We want to find a way to get ruling out measles, you know, in some cases that come along as quickly as possible so that we know how to treat these. And the treatments are different depending on who you are.
Oh, really?
For measles.
See, because I'm just thinking you get vaccinated and then you're done. Not the case.
Because the measles vaccine, the measles germ in the vaccine is live. And so you can't give it to certain people like pregnant women,
right?
People on chemotherapy, immunosuppression. There's another medication that can be used that's not live virus.
How easy is this? On a practical sense, how easy is it to communicate from one person to another? How susceptible are you? I mean, is it body fluids, a sneeze? Is it a contact of hand? I mean, just how easy is it to spread from one person to another?
Okay, it's highly transmissible. It comes in the nasopharynx, so if you sneeze or your hands are up there and you touch, it's also shed in the urine, and it is so respected that if we have a case that might be measles in the hospital, we put them in a special negative pressure room so that it's...
No molecules of air get out, and it's all dealt with appropriately.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's a hospital setting, you know, but... that would be a catastrophe otherwise.
So what's your ideas on, I was thinking about the task force, and I'm thinking, okay, what would the task be? Well, we'd want to know if there's a reported case as quickly as possible so that we could react and then find out where that person had been in the hours or days prior to. I mean, when you start thinking about this, there are a lot of aspects, including, is there enough vaccine? I noticed that some of the vaccine makers are really kicking it up. Saying, you know, we've got to get caught up. And I would think with chickenpox breaking out like it is in Europe, that's also a vaccine that a lot of catching up to do when you got 53,000 people. But what do you say to the person that says, look, I don't trust vaccines. I don't trust medicine. I don't trust. And you say, look, the preservatives that you use in this, I think that they're causing problems with children. I mean, how do you respond to that, Dr. Bobo?
Well, the same way I respond to those questions for any sort of medical procedure or action that we take, I give them the data, and this is what it is, and this is what can happen if you do not want to involve yourself in it, and for us to help you, bad or good, these are the pros and cons, and you will be the one to make the choice.